When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." But after this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Now I know that in the weeks following Easter, we are meant to be joyful. But our gospel reading today happens before the celebrations start. Jesus' body is gone, but no one knows what happened to it. I imagine the room where the disciples were hidden. Small room with a small wooden door, shuttered windows, or maybe even barricaded. Dust floating in beams of moonlight that peek through the boarded-up windows. The disciples would be mourning in this place. The air is still, but their minds are rushing with terrifying thoughts, thinking of the dangers that they might face now, that they have no leader to guide them. Thinking about the communities they left behind when they decided to follow Jesus. The Savior that God sent to them has been defeated, and there may never be hope again. They are shut off from the world. The disciples' reaction to this terrifying experience is actually quite a smart one. They don't split up like silly characters in a scary movie. They stay together, and they lean on one another. But this experience of seeing their leader, teacher, and friend arrested, beaten, and crucified, the realization that their one hope for overcoming the oppression of their people, for the safe and just world they once wanted, these things left them with more than fear. The disciples were dealing with trauma. Now, many things can cause trauma, including experiences of emotional abuse, physical abuse, experiences with racism, sexism, homophobia, and many, many more of the experiences we face in our lives can leave us with trauma. And when the initial traumatic experience has ended, the trauma remains with survivors, and it may take years and years for them to heal. This is what the disciples are facing when Jesus arrives. He doesn't break down the door or even pick the lock. He didn't enter the room. But there he is somehow with the disciples. It's almost as if he has been there the whole time. Jesus meets the disciples with gentleness and understanding. He offers them peace. And then Jesus breathes on them. The Holy Spirit, just like God breathed the breath of life onto the first people made of mud, Jesus breathed into them new life. This is a new creation. Their Savior was not defeated. Jesus won. Jesus is victorious and present and is making all things new. Hallelujah. But is that really all we need to get over trauma? Or even to get over the regular trouble we face every day? Just return our faith, remember our baptism, and look for Jesus' presence in our lives. Poof, we're cured. That doesn't sound quite right to me. And thankfully, Thomas is here to make it make sense. Thomas, who wasn't there the day that Jesus appeared to the other disciples, hears this and says, "I can't believe that." People talk about Thomas like he's a spoil sport or a party pooper. Thomas hears everyone rejoicing like the whole world is fixed. But he's looking around at the world and he's feeling his trauma and he just can't get on board with them. Maybe you felt like Thomas before or maybe even in the past week. You're supposed to feel joyful, but how can we rejoice when the world is in pain, when we're in pain? It's interesting that Thomas asks for more than just to see Jesus. He wants to touch the scars on Jesus' hands and side. There are many reasons why he might have needed this. I think the first and most obvious reason is to ensure that Jesus is not an imposter. It's definitely Jesus, definitely went through all these things. But maybe Thomas needed to touch Jesus' wounds for a deeper reason. Maybe to know that those wounds are healed or can be healed. Or to know that new life can still grow, even in a body scarred by trauma. Thomas cries, "My Lord and my God." This is the Jesus who defeated death, but continues to wear his scars. This was Jesus who knows him, who walks with him towards healing. There is no expectation for Thomas to rejoice. He cries out because he sees the God who knit him together in his mother's womb, embodied and present and active in his life. Not just passively watching and guiding, but also actively nurturing and caring. Jesus didn't appear and fix the world in one day. Jesus appeared and called forth the disciples' courage, sending them out to do as he did, to be broken bread and poured out wine, to be a beacon of hope, sharing God's grace with the world. Jesus is risen and present and acting to provide faith, hope, and courage. He sends us all just the way that he was sent. We may not always feel joyful in this work. Jesus wasn't always joyful either. There's a lot of hurt to be healed. There are many wrongs to be set right. But we can find peace in the hope that Easter brings, because we know and experience God at work in our hearts, God at work in the things we do for our own healing, and God at work in the world through the words we say and the way we live. Amen.